The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams. Quintessential phase. The problem of being born on a world in a plural zone never occurred to Arthur Dent during his confusing days aboard the Heart of Gold, his lonely nights on prehistoric Earth, or even the embarrassed silences following his fumbled catches on the playing fields of cricket. Indeed, the idea that the universe could consist of more than one reality was beyond his slightest imagining. For years he blindly assumed that the one and only planet Earth was destroyed by the Vogons, and that that was, in all senses of the word, that. But then, seemingly for no reason at all, not even in response to an acute attack of allergic rhinitis by the great green Arkel seizure itself, another Earth flicked into existence to replace the demolished one. And upon that new Earth, Arthur met and fell in love with a troubled girl called Fenchurch, who he subsequently lost during a routine hyperspace jump. Now in search of any kind of meaning, Arthur has arrived upon the planet Hoalius, where a tourist brochure promises guidance by prophets and seers. Of course, he could just throw away the brochure and consult his copy of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. But he's been finding...
This pop-up is brought to you by Infinidim Enterprises. Click here for vital Hitchhiker's Guide Pro update information.
Something is wrong somewhere. Thus, Arthur is even less inclined than usual to trust his Hitchhiker's Guide, which means that at this parallel of the narrative, he mostly uses it for eating his sandwiches off.
Still... Get off! Bloomin' buzzin' sods! Get your own goat carcass! That'll learn ya! Oh, keep still, dammit! Bloated great blue bottle! Come here!
Hello? Ugh, ye gods, what a stink! Oh, gross! Excuse me, I think I've trodden in a dead goat!
Man, my bladder!
What?
Oh, the goat bladder! Hanging behind ya, you... Now you've disturbed the maggots, you... And me, the table tennis bat.
I'm so sorry.
What you want?
I came to ask for your advice.
What about?
Well, just sort of general advice, really. It's said in the brochure.
Brochure? Advice? Advice? To do with your life, that sort of thing?
Yes. What is that smell?
What smell?
Let me just move upwind of you.
Well, you better come in my cave.
Can't we talk out here?
You'll have to help me with a photocopier.
What?
Hold up. The photocopier. You'll have to help me drag it out. I have to keep it in the cave so the birds don't shit on it.
I see.
Yeah, well, I'd take a deep breath if I was you.
Ahead of you there.
Right. You can breathe again now. Right. The solar cells seem to be charged up. Always takes a minute or two. You'll be wanting some lunch.
I've eaten, thanks.
I'm sure you have. Not too rank. Ooh, hang on.
Need a toothpick?
Nah. Maggoty bit. Got it, thanks. There you go.
This is your advice, then, is it?
No, it's the story of my life.
Oh, but I...
You see, the quality of any advice anybody who has to offer can only be judged against the quality of life they actually lead. Now, as you look through this document, you'll see that I've underlined all the major decisions I ever made to make them stand out. They're all indexed and cross-referenced. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Don't need to check them now. All I can suggest is that if you take decisions that are exactly opposite to the sort of decisions that I've taken, then maybe you won't finish up at the end of your life in a smelly old cave like this.
As Arthur Dent absorbs this self-evident truth and a blast of halitosis that would make any self-respecting bug bladder beast book an urgent appointment with the one surviving oral hygienist on trial, events elsewhere move on apace. It's important here to remember that in this collision of realities, there are two Tricia McMillans in Arthur's life. One, the girl he lost to Zaphod Beeblebrox at a party in Islington, Trillian Astra, intergalactic court affairs correspondent for the Sidereal Daily Mentioner. The other, blonder and more American, lives on the replacement Earth. She is Tricia McMillan, also a reporter. Her chances of leaving the planet are about to take a belated turn for the better.
Oh, Mr. Bartlett, I'm just back from New York and I was expecting to find the grass cut and you haven't touched it.
Well, no, I didn't want to mess up the evidence of the aliens.
You mean illegal immigrants?
Space aliens, miss. They come down here, land on your lawn, then buzz off again, sometimes with your cat. Mrs. Williams at the post office, her cat got abducted. They brought him back the very next day, but he were in a very odd mood. Sleeping a lot. Off his fish.
What's that got to do with cutting the grass?
The marks on your lawn are exactly the sort that their landing pads would probably make.
Eric, please come and cut my grass tomorrow.
I found a three-leaf clover there, too. Not a regular one with a leaf missing, but a genuine three-leaf.
Please?
All right. If I were you, though, I'd watch for signs of alien activity in the area, particularly from the Henley direction.
Oh, gotta go. Someone at the door.
McMillan? Ms. Tricia McMillan?
Yes?
We have been monitoring you.
Yes.
On TV.
Yes.
Monitoring me? How?
From the 10th planet from your sun.
Yes.
Your people call it Rupert.
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 You look much smaller in real life.
The history of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is one of idealism, struggle, success, failure, and enormously long lunch breaks. Most of the surviving stories, however, speak of a founding editor called Herling Frutmig, who established its fundamental principles of honesty and idealism and went bust. There followed many years of penury and heart-searching, but then after a chance encounter with the holy lunching friars of Undon, who claimed that just as lunch was at the center of a man's temporal day, and man's temporal day could be seen as an analogy for his spiritual life, so lunch should A, be seen as the center of a man's spiritual life, and B, be held in a jolly nice restaurant. He refounded the guide, laid down its fundamental principles of honesty and idealism, and where you could stuff them both. As a result, the editorial lunch break played a crucial part in the guide's history, since it meant that most of the actual work got done by whatever passing stranger happened to wander into the empty offices on an afternoon and saw something worth doing. Shortly after this, the guide was taken over by Megadodo Publications of Ursa Minor Beta, thus putting the whole thing on a very sound financial footing, which allowed the fourth editor, Lig Lurie Jr., to embark on lunch breaks of such breathtaking scope that he never formally resigned his editorship, but left his office late one morning and has never since returned. Though well over a century has since passed, guide staff still retain the romantic notion that he's merely popped out for a ham croissant and will yet return to put in a solid afternoon's work. Thus, Lig's desk is still preserved the way he left it, with the addition of a small sign which says, Lig Lurie Jr., Editor, Missing, Presumed Fed. As time has passed, Ford Prefect and the few other researchers who stayed out in the field have gradually lost touch with the corporate nightmare the guide has become. The current location of the guide building is Antwelm City, on the planet of Sacco Pilia Hentia. Its editor-in-chief, Stagyar Zildogo, is a dangerously unbalanced man who takes a homicidal view of contributors turning up in his office without pages of fresh, proofed copy. Ford Prefect has lately arrived here and caught reprogrammed and renamed one of the flying security robots to help him gain access to Stagyar's office by any means necessary.
Right, ready. After three.
But...
Three! One!
Ford Prefect. I've been expecting you.
You're not Stagyar, but I do know you.
My name is Van Hal.
And a delightful name sir.
What have you done to that security robot?
I've made it very happy. It's a kind of mission I have. Where's Stagia? And more to the point, where's his drinks trolley?
Mr. Zildogger is no longer with us. His drinks trolley is, I imagine, helping to console him for this fact. I'm your new editor-in-chief. That is, if the organization decides to retain your services.
Organization? That word isn't usually associated with the guide.
Precisely our sentiments. Understructured, over-resourced, undermanaged, over-inebriated. And that was just the editor.
I tell you what, I'll do the jokes.
No. You'll do the restaurant column.
You what?
No. Me, Van Hal. You, prefect. Me, editor. You, restaurant column. Here. A diner charge card in your name. Expiry date 2 years from now.
This is the single most exciting thing I have ever seen in my life.
You're drooling.
Sorry, Colin, the towel.
Of course!
Prefect, we're at Infinitum Enterprises.
Are you at what?
Infinitum Enterprises. We have taken over the Hitchhiker's Guide.
Megadodo Publications is now called Infinitum?
We spent millions on that name. Start liking it or start packing. The galaxy is changing. We've got to change with it. A new technology for a new future.
Oh, don't tell me about the future. I've been all over it. Spend half my time there. It's the same as anywhere else. Any when else? Well, whatever. Just the same old stuff in faster cars and smellier air.
That's one future. You've got to learn to think multidimensionally. Limitless futures stretching out in every direction from this moment. And from this moment. And from this. Billions and billions of shining, gleaming futures. I seem to be drooling now. Can I borrow your towel?
Sure, here.
Thank you. Billions and billions of markets.
I see. So you sell billions and billions of guides.
Oh, do try and keep up. We sell one guide billions and billions of times. We exploit the multidimensional nature of the universe to cut manufacturing costs. And we don't sell something with a plummy, pompous pedagogue lecturing to penniless hitchhikers. Oh, no. What kind of positioning was that? The one section of the market that more or less by definition didn't have any money? No. We sell a sultry Brantis Vogan Escort Agency VIP vamp voice to the affluent business traveler and his vacationing wife in a billion different futures.
And you want me to be its restaurant critic?
If the quota permits.
Kill!
Delighted!
No! No! Get off me! Colin, no!
Get off me!
Release!
He is unconscious. My circuits hum with joy. Shall I kill him as instructed?
No, it was a reflex action on my part. People who use words like quota trigger it. Make me shout kill, but only rhetorically.
I can kill him rhetorically if you prefer.
No, but we could just check his wallet while we're here. First name, Zani Woop. Where did I come across this suit before? See if there's a clue. Cash, credit tokens, Ultra Golf Club membership. Photo of someone's wife and family. Presumably his own, but as a busy executive, he might just rent them for weekends. Wait a minute.
An identities card! Can life get any better?
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy explains the function of the identities card like this. There are so many different ways in which you are required to provide absolute proof of your identity these days that life can easily become extremely tiresome just from that factor alone. Never mind the deeper existential problems of trying to function as a coherent consciousness in an ambiguous physical universe. Just look at cash point machines, for instance. Queues of people standing around waiting to have their fingerprints read, their retinas scanned, bits of skin scraped from the nape of the neck and undergoing instant genetic analysis. Hence the identities. This encodes every single piece of information about you, your body and your life, into one all-purpose machine-readable card that you can then carry around in your wallet, thereby representing technology's greatest triumph to date over both itself and plain common sense.
With Mr. Van Hart's card, you can access any level in the building. I think I'm going into orgasm.
Colin, don't do that. You want to stay happy?
Yes, please, yes.
Then come down from the ceiling and do everything I tell you.
I'm quite happy hovering up here, thank you. I never realized before how much sheer titillation there was to be had from a good ceiling. I'll be pleased to explore my feelings about ceilings in greater depth.
Stay there and you'll be captured and have your condition chip replaced. So if you want to stay happy...
My felicity is clouded by a pang of impassioned tristesse.
Yeah, whatever. Can you keep the rest of the security system happy for a few minutes?
One of the joys of true happiness is sharing. I brim, I froth, I overflow.
Yeah, okay. Just spread a little happiness around the security network. Don't give it any information. Just make it feel good so it doesn't feel the need to ask for any. Then show me where the accounting department is.
Will this be fun?
It'll be more than fun. It'll be extremely fruity. Great Zarkon, who rebuilt the door?
Oh, the offices are all nano-built now. Molecular bots live in the woodwork. They build each other, rebuild the door, disassemble each other, and go back into the woodwork to await further damage.
Well, let's not keep them waiting.
Is that your spaceship on my lawn?
Our scout ship, yes, Ms. McMillan.
Are you from... Zaphod?
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 Which direction? We don't think so. Not as far as we know.
You've been monitoring me.
All of you. Everything on your planet. TV, radio, computers, video circuitry, warehouses, car parks. We monitor everything.
How tedious.
What are these?
My music collection.
Look! Elvis sings Oasis.
Oh. You like Elvis Presley?
Oh, yes. Elvis. Yes. Elvis.
Some of your people think that Elvis has been kidnapped by space aliens.
Last I heard, he was alive and well, living out his old age in Memphis. Mind if I video you?
If you don't mind us monitoring it.
Okay. Now, tell me slowly and carefully who you are. You first. What's your name?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
What about you other two?
We don't know.
Okay. Where are you from? Why are you shaking your heads?
We don't know where we are from.
We are on a mission.
Mission, yes.
Ah, a mission. Okay. To do what?
We don't know.
So what are you doing here on Earth, then?
We have come to fetch you.
Fetch.
Why me?
Because we have lost our minds.
Can't find them.
Lost. Mm-hmm. Totally. Gone.
Oh, I beg your pardon?
We liked your interview with the astrologer.
Yes.
We are very interested in what the stars foretell.
We thought stars
might just be fissile gaseous bodies, but as our memories are blank, we believe whatever we like.
Yes.
And we like astrology much better.
Astrology.
We follow our horoscopes, you see. Yes. They give us a purpose.
Our ship was hit by a meteorite. Our memories were wiped. Our only remaining instructions were to land. And monitor.
And what?
The next bit is not clear yet. But our immediate problem is one of triangulation. Astrology is a very precise science.
Precise.
We know this.
Well.
But it is only precise for you here on Earth. So when Venus is rising in Capricorn, for instance, that is from Earth. How does that work if we are out on Rupert? What if the Earth is rising in Capricorn? It is hard for us to know.
Amongst the things we have forgotten. Which we think are many and profound.
Yes.
Is trigonometry. You said you are an astrophysicist?
I was. Well, I am, really.
You said astrology is not a science unless scientific methodology is applied to it. And that is what we would like you to come and do.
Let me get this straight. You want me to come with you to Rupert to help you accurately calculate the relative positions of Earth and Rupert to help you work out your horoscopes?
Yes!
Do I get exclusive story rights?
Yes!
Wait here while I get my bet. No. Let's just go.
Hello. Hello, old man, on top of the next pole. Hello?
Go away. I'm ignoring you.
But this is the fifth pole I've climbed. Will you please stay in one place?
I'll meditate where I want.
Oh!
So there.
How are you doing that?
None of your business.
Please don't make me climb another one.
You should be careful climbing these poles. You could fall off and kill yourself if you tried.
Oh, no. I have it on good authority that I won't die until I have been to Stavromila Beta. And this isn't Stavromila Beta, is it?
No.
Good.
Goodbye.
How did you do that?
You think I'm going to tell you just like that what it took me 40 springs, summers, and autumns of sitting on top of successive poles to work out?
What about winter?
What about winter?
Don't you sit on the pole in the winter?
Just because I sit up a pole for most of my life doesn't mean I'm stupid. I go south in the winter. Got a beach house overlooking the beach. Sit on the chimney stack.
Do you have any advice for a traveler?
Yes. Get a beach house. It gives you somewhere to go.
Come here, yes.
Look, see her down there?
Yes, I consulted her, as a matter of fact.
Still.
Fat lot she knows. I got the beach house because she turned it down. What advice did she give you?
Do exactly the opposite of everything she's done.
In other words, get a beach house.
I suppose so. Any other advice?
A beach house doesn't even have to be on the beach, though the best ones are. We all like to congregate at boundary conditions.
Really?
Where land meets water, where earth meets air, where body meets mind, where space meets time, we like to be on one side and look at the other.
Please stop!
You can't take it, eh? You come to me for advice, but you can't cope with anything you don't recognize. So we'll have to tell you something you already know, but make it sound like news. Business as usual, then? Where are you from, boy?
Tell you what? You're a seer. Why don't you tell me?
You come from the earth. One of them.
One of them?
I can't tell you anymore.
But I've come all this way.
You cannot see what I see because you see what you see. You cannot know what I know because you know what you know. Everything you see or hear or experience in any way at all is specific to you. You create a universe by perceiving it. So everything in the universe you perceive is specific to you.
Hang on, can I write this down?
You can pick it up by the bucket load at the spaceport. They've got racks of the stuff.
It says in the brochure that I can have a special prayer, individually tailored to me and my special needs.
Oh, all right. Here's the prayer for you, then. Lord, Lord, Lord. It's best to put that bit in, just in case. You can never be too sure. Protect me from knowing what I don't need to know. Protect me from even knowing that there are things to know that I don't know. Protect me from knowing that I decided not to know about the things that I decided not to know about. Amen. That's it.
Thank you.
Oh, and there's another prayer that goes with it. That's very important.
Okay.
It goes, Lord, 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 protect me from the consequences of the above prayer. Amen.
Thank you.
Now, I suggest you get the next flight off this planet. Goodbye!
How did you do that?
Come on, Colin.
Even in my highly delighted condition, I have to say it is taking all of my energy to pump the slightest part of me whatsoever into the doors in these lower reaches of the building.
Yeah, I know, sir. Oh, Dingo's kidneys. Oh, suffering Zarquan.
Infinitum Enterprises Hitchhiker's Guide Accountancy Department. No admittance, not even to authorized personnel. You are wasting your time here. Go away. Do not touch me with your foil fans.
Infinitum Enterprises. What happened to beach shirts and that old jank spirit?
Oh! How did you do that?
Mixture of pleasure and pain. Never fails.
If you're listening to this on planet Earth, then A, good luck to you. There's an awful lot of stuff you don't know anything about. In your case, the consequences of not knowing the stuff are particularly terrible. But then, hey, that's just the way the cookie gets completely stomped on and obliterated. B, don't imagine you know what a computer terminal is. A computer terminal is not some television with a typewriter in front of it. It's an interface where the mind and body can connect with the universe and move bits of it about. If one were to gain access to the nerve center of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, in other words, its accounting computer, by, say, using a stolen Identi-Ease card, one would discover a bank of terminals lining the walls of a -10th floor room in its basement. These are portals onto every aspect of the guide's operations, and any order, say, to disallow a researcher's expenses, is input on a virtual level. Using a headset equipped with sensory deceptors, the operator will find themselves in a universe once only accessed from a single office on the 5th floor of the building, but which now has expanded in every conceivable way.
Wow!
It is a universe of densely enfolded worlds, of wild topographies, towering mountain peaks, heart-stopping ravines, of moons shattering off into seahorses, hurtful blurting crevices, silently heaving oceans, and bottomless hurtling hooping funts. And in a valley below the ledge on its tallest mountain where Ford Prefect finds himself clinging, stands a single shack on a deserted seashore.
And I thought accountancy was boring. Think, Ford. It's a simulated reality. You can snap back out of it at any moment.
Are you quite all right, Mr. Prefect?
Quite all right. Just checking. Okay. This must be a four-dimensional topological model of the guide's financial systems I'm in. And somebody or something will very shortly want to know why. And here they come.
What is happening, Mr. Prefect, sir?
I'm being inspected by the virtual accountancy creature, steely-eyed, pencil-moustached, with wings, and carrying laser guns.
I am happy virtual guns cannot hurt you.
I'm not sure this universe is as virtual as it looks.
Who are you? What do you want? What are you doing here? What is your authorization? Why haven't you gone?
Here, boys, my Identi-Ease card.
Nice to see you, Mr. Van Hal. Is there anything we can do for you?
Certainly there is. Clear all expenses for Ford Prefect Beetlejuice 5 Sector retrospectively and allow this Dino Charge card all privileges with roaming. Got the number?
Yes, sir!
Immediately, sir! Without delay!
It's done!
Oh, I wish I'd thought of this before.
Ford! You're back!
Zaphod? What the Zark are you doing here?
Hey! Where's Monkey Man?
Arthur, I don't know.
This is really important. On a scale of 1 to 10, 13! I know what's going on.
Zaphod, if that were true, then I've lost just about every bet I've ever made with myself. What do you mean I'm back?
You don't remember? Last time you were here?
This is eerily familiar to a conversation I had with a barman in Handold City.
Hey, so your memory is out of sync with yourself too, Hoopie! That's why I came back to the guide building. Trillium said I was dreaming or drunk when I was last here, and you know what I found out?
Drunk is better?
Yeah. The presidency, the cricket robots, it was all a front. The Vogon set it all up, and this guy's been controlling it all from here.
Which guy?
Zani Whoop. Van Hal. He's a Vogon. A plastic surgery, liposucked, fake tan, business-suited Vogon boss. The big cheese with a side order of jeweled crab.
But why would the Vogons want to take over the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Their paperwork was backing up. Every time they thought they had destroyed a planet in a plural zone, it reappeared. To stop the whole bureaucracy imploding, they need to bridge all available realities. Even mine.
Wow.
Some aquatic mammals from Earth gave them the idea. Dent's an aquatic mammal, isn't he?
Well, he likes taking baths, but I don't think he's much of a physicist.
Hey, you've heard of the total perspective vortex, right?
Well, I've heard you boast that you were the only person to survive it.
Yeah, well, I am, in a way. But it isn't just a torture machine, Frood. It's dimensional bridging software. And this was the prototype. Thought that cricket war was a cheap sideshow. The Vogons shrank the total perspective vortex into a portable unit, and it's got the voice of those Lintilla chicks.
What Lintilla chicks?
It's scary and sexy beyond anything. Except maybe riding a Fuolornis fire dragon naked. No, it's worse than that. You can't rub cream on this baby. Look, you have to find the package and get it out of the Hitchhiker's building.
Me? Why can't you do it?
Hey, dude! I've just spent virtual months in a virtual shack with virtually the most boring man in the universe and his actually smelly virtual cat. I need a very real and a very large pan-galactic goggle blaster inside me. Now!
Yo!
You ain't going no further, bitch! Only Zaqua's gonna save you now!
This program is brought to you by Cleanodent, the toothpaste with atomic whitener.
Glow in the dark, bright as the sun, Cleanodent for everyone.
Now with vibrating nanofoam.
And later on Home Brain Box.
Oh, not again.
Excuse me.
Oh, yes, sir. Can I get you something? Paper napkin?
No. Is that the only movie channel on this flight?
We're just coming up to the Lamuella hyperspace jump point, sir. After that, we pick up Ford Works Fictional News and ThinkVid.
Crew to seats for hyperjump in 30 seconds.
Oh, you'll want to fasten your seatbelt, sir.
Done. Just going to fasten this one, too.
Yes, we were wondering why you booked two seats when you only needed one.
I always do on interstellar flights. In about 15 seconds, I'm hoping for a miracle. Shouldn't you find your seat?
Yes, yes, of course.
3, 2, 1. Folks, we seem to have hit a major glitch in hyperspace. For those of you who have not given up addictive substances, smoke them if you got them.
But, Mr. Prefect, I still don't understand what you did inside the account's computer in only 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
Oh, the job only took 30 seconds. Then 2 minutes to find out what's going on from my cousin. Then another minute to reverse engineer evidence of my visit by programming in the sort of mental blocks that otherwise perfectly normal people develop when elected to high political office. Elevator.
Hello, I'm me, your Sirius Cybernetics Corporation Happy Vertical People Transporter, taking you, the visitor to the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Enough already. Floor 23 and step on it.
Seems to be a popular floor today. Share and joy, share.
Popular floor? That doesn't sound good.
I'll sound however you want, sir. Perhaps you'd like me to sing some more. Let your pile be...
May I ask what joy you discovered from your cousin, Mr. Beeblebrox, sir?
Oh, mostly that he's very, very bored, so I hitched him a lift to the nearest bar with my electronic thumb. The rest I'll keep to myself for now, Colin, just in case you get caught and reprogrammed again.
Inspired thinking. I am humbled by it.
Oh, Colin, shut this thing up.
And the privilege it is to do so. I will hack into its circuits.
Ah, warning. If you are disconnecting my higher brain function, you should know that, like all Sirius Cybernetics Happy People Transporters, I can see into the future, and I must warn you that...
My circuit deactivated.
Ah, pity. It was finally going to say something useful. Okay, the nanobots have rebuilt the editor's door again. When I break through, you cover me. The drinks trolley may have gone, but I saw a sofa, so I'll duck behind that. If Zani Whoop is still unconscious, all well and good, we just put back his identities and leave. If not, we play it by ear while you think of something. After three. Ready?
Three!
What? Oh, yeah.
That's him.
Evil Brox?
No, you idiot. Prefect. Do try and keep up.
Zani Whoop, you're awake. Where did the sofa go? Ah, rocket launcher on Vogon's shoulder. Bad sign.
Prefect, you're fired. Literally.
Colin, the window!
Colin! Oh, do try and keep up.
Can Ford Prefect survive a fall from the Hitchhiker's Guide building's 23rd floor, equipped with nothing but a threadbare towel and a dubious credit card? Has Arthur Dent finally met a grisly fate at Stavromula Beta? What is the reality behind the portable total perspective unit? Random layers of multidimensionality are sandwiched together in the next mouth-watering episode of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
In that episode of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams, William Franklin was the book and Rula Lenske was the voice of the bird. Simon Jones played Arthur Dent, Jeffrey McGiven, Ford Prefect, Mark Wing Davy, Seyfarth Beeblebrox, and Jonathan Price was Zani Whoop. Syed Jaffrey was the old man on the pole, and Miriam Margulies, the smelly photocopier woman. Sandra Dickinson was Tricia McMillan, Lorelei King, the stewardess, and Andrew Seacombe was Colin the robot. Roger Gregg played the Doctor, Philip Pope, the Grebulon underling, and Michael Fenton Stevens was the Grebulon lieutenant. The announcer was John Marsh. The surround mix was by Paul Dealey, and additional effects by Ken Humphrey and Paul Weir. The script editor was John Langdon, and the music was by Paul Wicks Wickens. The production manager was Joe Wheeler, and the production assistant was Susie Matthews. The programme was adapted, directed and co-produced by Dirk Maggs. The producers were Helen Chatwell and Bruce Hyman, and it was an above-the-title production for BBC Radio 4. Listeners on planets other than one of the parallel Earths are requested not to give away any of the plot of next week's episode, just in case the Vogon demolition fleet fails to arrive in the next 7 days. Or doesn't. Depending on which Earth we're referring to, I think. Do you mind if I have a lie down? I'm getting another of those headaches.